Hi. I thought we would take a look at Tao Te Ching chapter 12 today. I will start by reading from the Regina Don Acres translation. Chapter 12 is titled in this translation, Ordinary Contrasted with Wise. So it's showing us what the ordinary person in the world is like, contrasted with what the wise person or the sage is like, so that we can kind of see the difference between ordinary human and wise human. Humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. They are made deaf by everything they listen to. Their experiences make them opinionated. Their hearts are crazed as they rush about trying to obtain. What they value brings out the worst in them. Therefore, sages follow intuition instead of being dominated by perception. As things go, they let go. As things come, they accept them. So, what I'd like to do first is talk about what this means, and then we'll go look at some translation choices that were made. We'll also look at some other translations and see what choices were made there. But starting at the top, where it says, humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. When I read this first particular line, I am reminded of both chapter 10, chapter 1. Maybe even a little bit of chapter 2. But let's look at chapter 10 first. In chapter 10, we saw this question. This is from the RDA translation. Can you allow your mind to be purified until you are nearly flawless? Can you allow your mind to be purified until you are nearly flawless? But when we looked at that, I was telling you that there were other choices in how that could have been translated. In fact, you might remember this word for word from the Chinese. Wash away black to look at, can not to have flaw. Wash away black. Black here would be, I mentioned before, kind of like a stain, or I'm reminded in the Bible when Jesus said something about take the, oh, I forget what the word was, take like the blot out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of your brother's, something like that. So the black here would be that big blot in your own eye that's keeping you from being able to see clearly. Wash away black to look at. We could talk about that, call that cleanse your misperception. Remember talking about this? Cleanse your misperception. So this question could have been translated, can you cleanse your misperception until perception is flawless? Something like that, right? Or can you cleanse your perception until you have true perception? Remember, and I told you that I chose to translate it as mind instead of perception because you can't really cleanse perception because how you perceive comes from the mind. So it really needs to be cleansed or purified is the mind. Let's look at again this sentence or question from chapter 10. Along with the opening sentence from chapter 12, right? Chapter 10 says, wash away, black to look at? Or can you cleanse your misperceptions? Cannot to have flaw until perception is flawless. Can you cleanse your misperceptions until perception is flawless? Now listen to how that fits with the first line of chapter 12. Humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. In other words, this is talking about the average human on the planet that has not cleansed their misperceptions or has not purified their mind. And so what they see deceives them, because what they see is distorted by the beliefs, the ideas, the thoughts in the mind. Now, the reason I said this reminded me of chapter one also is because, remember, chapter one really points out that everything that we're seeing is actually the Tao. And of course, that's not what the average human sees, right? The average human doesn't look out and see the Tao or see God or see essence. And so they're deceived by what they see. I also said it reminds me of chapter two, because chapter two kind of lays out how we begin to misperceive. Remember when it says, when the whole world defines the beautiful as beautiful, other things are seen as ugly. When everyone defines good as good, other things are judged as bad, etc. So it laid out the beginning of how misperception occurs through judgment. So this first sentence just fits with everything else that we've already seen in the Tao. You know, the humans that are not learning about the Tao and learning to align themselves with the Tao, one of the symptoms of that type of human, that average person, is that they're blinded by perception. They're deceived by what they see. They are misperceiving rather than experiencing true perception. And the next line just follows that train of thought. They are made deaf by everything they listen to. One example of this would be if we listen to a particular news program all the time without ever listening to another point of view. For example, if we always listen to CNN or we always listen to Fox, by listening to them, they kind of train us to perceive in a certain way. And we will interpret certain events based on what we've been hearing on those news channels. And someone who listens to a different news channel can interpret the same event entirely differently, right? Humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. They are made deaf by everything they listen to. And then the third sentence just follows that. Their experiences make them opinionated, right? We all think we're right about our opinions. We all think we're right about how we see, about how we interpret those events. Their hearts are crazed as they rush about trying to obtain, right? Getting, whether we're trying to get money, whether we're trying to get material objects, whether we're trying to get love, whether we're trying to get fame, power, people to feel sorry for us, you name it. Our hearts are crazed as we rush about trying to obtain. Getting is so important to the ego, so important to the average human. What they value brings out the worst in them. You know, I heard a story the other day about there's a family where the mother and father live with the son, his wife, and their two children. And they have some dogs. The son, his wife, and the two children have the dogs. The son and his wife work. The wife works from home. The parents, which are her parents-in-law, are both retired and have lots of free time. So one thing they tend to do, both because they enjoy it and they just feel it's a way of helping out, is that they walk the dogs. Well, recently, the daughter-in-law got angry at the parents for walking the dogs. These are my dogs. I want to walk them, right? And basically let them know that she doesn't want the parents walking the dogs anymore. You see, what's valued there in this shared household is the difference between what is mine, right? And somehow it looked like the parents-in-law were encroaching on mine. They're my dogs. What they value brings out the worst in them. And there are numerous examples of how people get greedy, jealous. It goes so far as murdering, starting wars because of what we value. What we value brings out the worst in us. So again, these top sentences in chapter 12, these are things that we can all observe and see that it's true. This is, again, the average human. Humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. They are made deaf by everything they listen to. Their experiences make them opinionated. Their hearts are crazed as they rush about trying to obtain. What they value brings out the worst in them. All right, so now chapter 12 goes to show us what a sage looks like by contrast. Therefore, sages follow intuition instead of being dominated by perception. So a sage is tuned in to what intuitively feels right to say or do, if anything at all, right? They're not concerned by what they see, by what they hear. They do not have strong opinions. They're not outward focused. They're inward focused. They are also not attached to anything that's going on in the world or even in their own personal life. So as things go, they let go. They also are not judging good and bad in the world or in their own personal life. And so as things come, they accept them. Again, sages follow intuition instead of being dominated by perception. As things go, they let go. As things come, they accept them. So this chapter is just showing us the difference between the average human and the sage. And it's not written so that we will judge ourselves or compare ourselves to some ideal and find ourselves lacking. This contrast is more so we can see the peace in the sage as compared to the blindness, the deafness, the opinions, the crazed rushing about, and the worst you know, the anger, the jealousy, the envy, right? Whatever that worst is. So we can compare that non-peace, all of that, to the peace of the sage and see which one we desire. Not compare ourselves to it, judge ourselves, and find ourselves wanting. But which of these am I really interested in? Being, right? Which of these am I really interested in? Being. Because remember, we've seen that intention is very, very important. And so this is helping us to choose our intention through contrasting two options. Here are two ways of being. Which way of being do you really want? Right? What experience do you want to have? That's what this chapter is about, the ordinary contrasted with the wise. Now, when I translated this, I interpreted some symbols in order to make it more clear. So let's go and look at the translation. So the black English words are the word-for-word translation from the Chinese characters directly above them. Notice the first three lines say, five color, cause, people, I, blind. Five sound, cause, people, ear, deaf. Five taste, cause, people, mouth, frank, straightforward. And of course, I interpreted these and therefore translated them as humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. That was five color, cause, people, eye blind. They are made deaf by everything they listen to. That was five sound, cause, people, ear, deaf. This is the biggest interpretation of them all. Their experiences, this was five taste, right? Their experiences make them opinionated. Five taste, cause, people, mouth, frank, straightforward. I want to share with you from Derek Lynn's translation. He tends to translate quite literally. So I'm going to read not only these first few lines that I just covered, but I'll go ahead and read over the whole thing, and then we'll go back and we'll look at how I translated things. But this is Derek Lynn, chapter 12. The five colors make one blind in the eyes. The five sounds make one deaf in the ears. The five flavors make one tasteless in the mouth. Racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. Goods that are difficult to acquire make one cause damage. Therefore, the sages care for the stomach and not the eyes. That is why they discard the other and take this. All right, let's go back and look at what I did. And we're going to contrast it just with Derek Lynn's more literal version. So again, Derek Lynn said the five colors make one blind in the eyes. And you can see five color cause people eye blind, or that could be five color cause person eye blind. This particular character right here, Ren, I believe, person. Five color cause person eye blind. I interpreted it. Humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. again linked back to chapter 10. The five colors make one blind in the eyes. That was Derek Lynn. The next one, five sound cause people ear deaf, or five sound cause person ear deaf. I said they are made deaf by everything they listen to. Derek Lynn said the five sounds make one deaf in the ears. Next, and we'll pause and look at this one a little more. Five taste cause people mouth. Frank or straightforward? I said their experiences make them opinionated. Derek Lynn said the five flavors make one tasteless in the mouth. So one thing we really want to look at here is I translated this last character to frank and straightforward. Derek Lynn translated this last character to tasteless. And in fact, let's listen to what he says. He has a footnote here. He says, I have translated the key character in this line, Shuang, which is this character right here, as tasteless. This can cause confusion. In modern Chinese, it means refreshing, which is a positive feeling, not at all congruent with blindness or deafness in the previous two lines. This is a perfect example of where the ancient usage of the character is very different from the modern meaning. In this context, the true definition of shuang is a negative connotation. And then he says, when combined with ko, which is the symbol for mouth, it means loss of taste. And so that's how he explains why he chose tasteless. Now, let me show you why I chose frank or straightforward. I have put this character into my dictionary. This is the shuang, right? You'll notice that the words that came up were bright, clear, crisp. And I think the crisp is like the refreshing that he said it translates to. Bright, clear, crisp, open, and then frank or straightforward. To feel well, fine, pleasurable, invigorating, which could also be like refreshing, or to deviate. And in fact, if we look down here, we notice when combined with this particular character, it definitely means refreshed, rejuvenated, frank, and straightforward. However, we don't have this particular character in the Tao Te Ching. We only have this character. So he chose tasteless, which he said when you combine this character with ko, the symbol for the mouth, that's what it means. And I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. This is the opposite. Instead of the ko and then the shuang, this is shuang and then ko. And here it means fresh and tasty. What my dictionary is not giving me an example of, as you can see, is I do not have ko and then shuang. And of course, you all know I don't know Chinese. And so I'm limited to what my dictionary shows me and my own intuition when I translate. So it could be that ko and then shuang means tasteless, but that doesn't appear in my dictionary anywhere. So when I look at just the character by itself, I have these words to choose from. And again, frank and straightforward felt right to me. But why did I translate frank or straightforward as opinionated? Well, think about this. When people say, for example, frankly, I feel dot, 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 aren't they typically expressing an opinion? We tend to be very frank, very straightforward, which both really mean open and honest, which sound, again, very positive, but we tend to be frank or straightforward with our opinions, because we think we're right, because we think what our thoughts are saying are the truth, are the right way to see things, the right way to think about things. And I agree with Derek Lynn that the connotation here should follow the negative connotation of blind, deaf. It's not open and honest. That's too positive. It's opinionated, right? Opinionated. So five taste, cause people, mouth. I chose frank, straightforward. Derek Lynn chose tasteless. And I also saw the taste here, not as literal. I could see how color meant perception, outer perception, what I see. Sound meant, you know, what I listen to, like the news program examples I gave. Taste here felt like the experiences that I am tasting. So their experiences, what they taste in life, makes them opinionated. This is how I interpreted that. The next line, rushing headlong to hunt, cause people heart crazy. That's the literal word for word. Derek Lynn said, racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. I interpreted it much more to our modern life, where I said, their hearts are crazed as they rush about trying to obtain. The next line, rare of goods cause people to do harm. Derek Lynn said, goods that are difficult to acquire make one cause damage. I just said, what they value, which could include goods, but could include other things that we value, like ways of being, characteristics, etc. What they value brings out the worst in them, cause people to do harm. And then we come to the next line, literal translation, therefore, sage person, do belly? No, do I. Again, Derek Lynn, very literal. Therefore, the sages care for the stomach and not the eyes. And then he also has a footnote here that says, caring for the stomach means focusing on one's basic needs and living life with plainness. Caring for the eyes means acquiring even more sensory stimuli, more eye candy. The former is the only sure cure for sensory overindulgence, and that is why sages embrace it and discard the latter, mean caring only for the basic needs. I didn't see belly as meaning basic physical needs. I saw belly as intuition. And the eye, referring back to the first line, perception, which would include what I hear, which would include my experiences. Therefore, sages follow intuition instead of being dominated by perception. And then the literal for the last line, therefore, go that, take this. And Derek Lynn said, this is why they discard the other, just go that, discard the other, and take this. So they discard eye candy, they discard wanting in the world, and they take just what they need for their basic needs. That's the way Derek Lynn translated it. I translate it this way, therefore go that means as things go, they let go. Take this, as things come, they accept them. So just a little bit about the difference in the way Derek Lynn translated, which he's more literal, and the way I translated, which was more interpretive. Let me share some other translations with you. I have two that I've selected. The first one is by, it looks like a Japanese person, Yasu Hiko Genku Kimura. Yasuhiko Genku Kimura. The Five Colors Blind the Inner Eye. The Five Tones Deafen the Inner Ear. The Five Flavors Dull the Inner Tongue. In pursuit of outer pleasures, racing and hunting madden the inner mind. Rare goods obstruct inner progress. Therefore, the sage attends to that which is within, not that which is without. He lives from the center, not the periphery. So this person is really saying, again, that when we're focused outward, we're confused. Clarity comes from being focused inward. This is Archie J. Baum, and the year of this particular translation is 1958. This is, again, interpretive. Interest in the varieties of color diverts the eye from regarding the thing which is colored. Attention to the differences between sounds distracts the ear from consideration for the source of the sounds. Desire for enjoyment of the various flavors misdirects the appetite from seeking foods which are truly nourishing. And I suspect here he means more like our daily bread rather than physical food. Excessive devotion to chasing about and pursuing things agitates the mind with insane excitement. Greed for riches ensnares one's efforts to pursue his healthier motives. Again, here I suspect he means spiritual motives. The intelligent man is concerned about his genuine needs and avoids being confused by dazzling appearances. He wisely distinguishes one from the other. So chapter 12, taking very, very literally, could be saying that instead of chasing what's out there, we should just be focused on our most basic physical needs. Or, with a little more intuitive interpretation, it could mean, instead of being consumed by, obsessed by, caught up in what's out there, including chasing what's out there, but being outward focused. Instead of being outward focused, caught up in the outward, there's the option of being inward focused, right? Centered, following intuition, unattached to the outside, focused on the inside. So it's either a practical, physical chapter. Don't want too much. Just worry about your basic needs, simplicity. Or it's a spiritual pointer. Instead of being caught up in the outside, be focused on the inside. And I, of course, saw it as a spiritual pointer, which is why I interpreted it in that way and translated it in this way. Humans are blinded by perception, deceived by what they see. They are made deaf by everything they listen to. Their experiences make them opinionated. Their hearts are crazed as they rush about trying to obtain. What they value brings out the worst in them. Therefore, sages, follow intuition instead of being dominated by perception. As things go, they let go. As things come, they accept them. And I suppose, really, another way to translate this, closer to the way Derek Lynn translated, remember the last part he translated this way. That is why they discard the other and take this. If we were to take more that ending, it would sound kind of like this. Therefore, sages, follow intuition instead of being dominated by perception. They discard perception as important. And they take intuition as most valuable. That would have been another possible ending. Or they take the inner as most valuable. So, an assignment, a way to practice chapter 12, a way to live it, because again, this is called Tao Te Ching, an interpretive translation to live by. So I've explained the interpretive translation. Now, how do we live by it? This will be really important to do without judgment. I think it might be helpful to see where we are still slipping into the habits of the average human. So, how are we blinded by perception? How are we made deaf by what we listen to? How have our experiences made us opinionated? I think the easiest way to practice this, or how are we crazed trying to obtain, or how does what we value bring out the worst in us? We can include those too, right? I think a good way to practice this is to look for these symptoms in us. So, for example, looking for when I'm opinionated can be easy. When do I get in a conversation with someone who watches a different news channel than me, for example, and I start wanting to explain why I'm right, why my perception is right? When I see that in me, I don't want to judge it. But I might want to say, oh, that's average human, right? That's average human, not sage. Just notice it without judgment. You know, when am I rushing about trying to obtain, you know, in whatever way I do that, caught up on Amazon? Oh, an idea shows up. I need something. I go on Amazon. I look for it. You know, when am I in that crazy trying to obtain? Or is it love that I'm trying to obtain, or attention from others that I'm trying to obtain, or power or money? You know, when I see that I'm trying to obtain, especially if I see that I'm crazed about it, watching the stock market, for example, I can say, oh, that's average human. That's average human tendency, average human habit. I just want to call it out. When can I find what I value brings out the worst in me? Am I jealous, you know, with my partner? Am I protective of my things? Like, oh, yes, you can have a cup of coffee, but that's my cup. You know, take a different cup out of the cupboard. Don't take my cup, right? How does what I value bring out the worst in me? When do I see that happening? Oh, that's average human, right? That's average human. We just want to notice it. You see, as we notice these tendencies in us without judgment, as we bring awareness to them, we prepare ourselves to abandon them, to discard them, to lose interest in them, right? And then a change begins to happen next. So the first step is non-judgmental awareness. So read that first paragraph multiple times, maybe even write it down, carry it around with you, put it on your phone, carry it around with you, read it multiple times. And then when do you see yourself being the average human? non-judgmentally, there it is. There it is. There it is, right? Yeah, that's it. All right, I'll see you when we come back to look at chapter 13. Bye.